B-Pod Studios.
He didn't even check in high school.
Yeah.
You know,
the back injury
now
in college.
Now, the injuries, I don't think, State. A lot of them are just broken bones and stuff, which maybe you drink more milk, but it helps strengthen the argument of the anti-Wentz people.
No, it does. It does give them fuel. There's no doubt about it. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station, and we broadcast from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. So what have you learned today, Patty? You learned anything today?
I learned anything.
Yeah, any revelations in our conversation today where you kind of go, well, you know, now that we've really kind of talked this out, I don't feel as good about the Sixers as I thought I should.
That was probably it. The 4.5, I was a little surprised at myself for that.
The realization
of where I was a year ago to where I am now, it's like night and day, man.
Yeah, it's crazy because you looked at Embiid and Simmons and coming off that year where they ended up losing to the Celtics in round two and how good you were feeling about the team moving forward. And then they acquired Jimmy Butler and Tobias in season. And then you got knocked out on a quadruple doink. So you figure, well, we're going to make a big step next year.
Yeah, run it back.
Couple of the right moves.
And then to find out, too, that they weren't really feeling run it back.
No.
Fans were.
Yeah.
Fans were clamoring run it back. But the players immediately afterwards were like, yeah, we're not running it back.
No, that's not happening.
This is it.
And then you look at it. And then this year, now they're at the time that everything got put on hold, a six seed. And all of a sudden, a team that maybe you felt the best about their future, all of a sudden now, and according to your ranking, and I don't disagree with your ranking, that they're a team with the biggest amount of question mark and whether they're going to be able to go to the next level or not and be able to win an NBA title. It's crazy to think, but that's... And look, like when Iverson was here, you couldn't find the right players to put around him. Like, you had other star players, right?
Yeah, it was tough.
You had Stackhouse here, couldn't play with him. So it's not just
Larry Hughes, couldn't play with him.
Yeah, it's not about just having stars. The stars got to be able to play together. Look at, and you brought up Oklahoma City with Harden, Westbrook, and Durant. I mean, there was no team that had more talent than that team, but they couldn't play together. So if you can't play together, it doesn't matter. So it's not only that you have to have good players, but they got to fit. It's why Golden State was so good, because the talent fit together too. Because of what Klay Thompson brought to the table with Durant and Steph Curry, and even prior to Durant.
Yeah, everybody brought a specific set of skills and
that complemented each other.
It's tough. I mean,
and Draymond.
And you look at Iverson's run; they get bounced by Indiana 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
but then they got over the hump in that 2001 series. In the first round, and then they go against Toronto in seven games.
And
they
Milwaukee.
Play them real tough. Milwaukee was seven games, played real tough, and then they get to the finals, and they really had to scratch their claw their way to the finals, where the Lakers had coasted, not lost the game. I think they were sitting for 15 days waiting to find out who they played.
Was it really 15 days?
I think
days?
It was 15 days.
Oh, my
Yeah,
goodness.
Look it up, but I'm pretty sure it was 15 days. Ooh. And I think since then, the NBA has changed that. I think they've spaced
Can't be
it out.
That long.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous. And, but they teamed him up with Mutombo after Ratliff got injured. You know, yeah. Ratliff
42-14 when Ratliff went down.
Yeah, and I believe he was leading the league in blocks when
he was
his wrist injury happened. But they figured, okay, we have a chance to go get Dikembe Mutombo here, and they did it. And they surrounded Iverson, other than Mutombo, they surrounded him with a lot of complimentary pieces like Eric Snow.
George Lynch,
yeah.
Ty Hill.
Aaron McKee, Temple head coach Aaron McKee, and that worked.
Yeah, because those guys didn't demand the ball.
And that's the thing. Like, it's amazing. I heard a quote this week that it's so true, and it was, it's amazing how many wins you get when nobody cares who scores.
Yeah.
And that team was that way. Everybody knew who was getting the rock. Everybody knew Iverson was going to get his move out the way, and there weren't a lot of egos other than Iverson's on that team because everybody knew
there was
their
no
role.
Competing
everybody
egos.
Knew we were a complimentary piece basically to this guy, this little 4'9", you know, giant at the guard position. And that it's tough. And they didn't win a championship. And I don't think that they could win one in today's game because of everything we kind of talked about with teams loading up in free agency. And it's no longer about, you know, in the past in 2001, it was like, okay, you need probably two quote superstars.
Yeah.
You know, and the Sixers had Iverson and they had Mutombo, was a superstar, he was a defensive player of the year, but
he wasn't a great offensive option. That was
he was okay. He was, you know, grabbed boards. He was more of a defensive front, but he would chip you in like 15 points a game. But you looked at the Lakers, who had Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah.
And Shaq and Iverson at the time kind of canceled each other out, but... I'm sorry.
Shaq and Kobe.
Sorry. Iverson and Iverson. Yeah. Kobe and Iverson canceled each other out. But Shaq and Mutombo, with Mutombo being injured, it wasn't even close. Yeah. And but in today's NBA, you need at least three, probably.
Yeah, maybe four.
And the question is Tobias Harris that third guy?
No.
And he doesn't look like it.
No, he's getting paid like it.
And you max them out.
Yeah.
And you have a guy getting paid $28 million coming off your bench where the coach who just addressed the media says, yeah, I think during the pandemic we figured out his role. What?
Yeah. How'd you figure it out?
It took you this long?
Yeah, why during the pandemic did you figure it out?
Why is it every time he talks, red flags go up?
Yeah.
Every time he opens his mouth, and it's because he's honest to a fault, but it's just what I said, to a fault. You know, red flags go up every time this guy opens his mouth, and you sit there as a fan and go, wait, you paid this guy $28 million a season, and you had no idea how to play him? Not a clue?
Well, that's poor communication between the general manager and the coach.
Well, and, you know, look, I think...
I think they had a vision for it, but...
Elton can buy you the groceries, but if you don't follow the recipe, don't get mad when the food tastes like crap.
Yeah. Well, there's no sport, in my opinion, that where the players have to compliment each other perfectly than that sport because the margin for error is so small.
To me, that is arguably the toughest sport to win a championship because of the fact that you have the have and the have-nots. Like, it really symbolizes our society with, like, the one percenters. Look, if you're a one percenter... You're great. You're doing phenomenal. Life is good. And if you're not...
It's been one of my gripes with the NBA, is that you know who's going to win it.
Yeah, and this year was the first year in a long time where it wasn't that way, because it seemed like the East...
Because of what you had out West.
The East was wide open. The West was also... You could make a case that there are about six teams out West that could possibly come out of it. You know, maybe they beat up on each other in the playoffs, and who knows what happens. And the East, really, in my opinion at the time, being a three-horse race between the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics... And obviously, I was completely wrong about the East, and we'll find out about what happens with the West. But you're right. I mean, you knew before the season started, I could write down four teams. Three of them are going to be in the conference finals, at least.
Yeah. No, you're right.
If not all four.
Yeah.
And that was an issue because it was like, all right, well, then what's the point?
Yeah. What's the point in the first two rounds of the playoffs? What's the point in the regular season when you know where everything's going to end up? By the way, Jay Bink tweets in and goes, the Lakers 0-1 finals was actually 9 days, not 15, but still nine's way too long.
All right, Jay.
No, he's just clarifying. Don't take it personally.
No,
don't get all upset.
No, I will. Jay, stop letting your facts get in the way of my story, which sounds way better and more impressive.
Yeah.
All right, Jay.
You went 2+ weeks. It was actually 2 days more than a week.
They were sitting for 22 days. By the end of the show, it's going to be there out for 3 months.
I love how you just get so upset when he just said, and he said, hey, and welcome back, buddy.
Jay Bink checking in.
And gave me a couple beers, mugs,
facts.
Signs, cheersing, saying welcome back. And you got all upset about it for no reason.
Facts coming here. This is sports radio, Jay. We don't do facts.
Yeah, well, let's.
We do hot takes.
Yeah, no, we don't. And I will not.
And I don't want a hot take.
Yeah, I don't want a hot take. I think it's ridiculous.
No, I appreciate Jay clarifying that because, you know, my
But
memory,
still, 9 days is too long.
It's a long time, yeah.
It's too long. It's too long to be sitting and waiting for the other team to get done. But look, you're right. They swept their way through all the way to the finals and lost game one and then didn't lose again. And the Sixers had two back-to-back seven-game series against Toronto and Milwaukee to punch the ticket to the finals, and it was fun. And look, I'd rather that team have gotten to the finals than not gotten to the finals, gotten to the finals and lost, than not gotten there at all. Because that 0-1 run was awesome. That was tremendous fun. But it is what it is. 610-632-0975. We've got some open lines if you want to check in. And I need a review from somebody on the show, White Lines. I wonder if anybody saw White Lines. Now, it's the same, I guess, creators or production or whatever as Money Heist. Same group of people did the show.
Yeah, I haven't watched Money Heist, but I haven't heard a bad thing about it.
Bad, it's tremendous.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's six seasons though, right?
No, four.
Okay. Four. How many episodes?
The first couple were more episodes than the last two.
More as in, like, we're talking 10 or 8?
I think the first season was 12.
Jesus, relax.
Well, no, that's good.
12.
You want more. Don't you want more?
I'll explain why I don't. Off air.
Why? I can't understand why you would want less. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? So the first season, Pat, was... let me see here. I'll just get it so I can be accurate because we'll get tweeted if not. The first two seasons were 15 episodes. 9 episodes in season one, 6 in season two. Season one is broken up into two. So there's only two seasons, technically. Season one had a part one, which was 9 episodes, and part two, which was 6 episodes. And that encompassed one full story of Money Heist. And then season two, which is part three, which was 8 episodes, and part four, which was 8 episodes. So that's how that worked.
Okay, I can get behind that more.
I didn't realize it was that way.
It was daunting hearing Money Heist and thinking, all right, so I've got 40 hours ahead of me.
Yeah.
Most seasons are broken up into 10-episode seasons.
Yeah.
Most, at least.
Yeah.
But so, knowing that this was foreign, you know, they changed things up.
Yeah, to completely close the first season, it took two parts, so almost like two separate seasons, that were 15 episodes in the first one. So the first heist is 15 episodes. The second heist is 16 episodes.
And it is subtitles, right?
It's subtitled, or I just listened to it in English because you would lose too much reading that much. Yeah. And it drives you a little bit nuts at first.
But you get over it.
Yeah. Like in the first part or first season, it's the Royal Mint of Spain that they rob. All right.
Okay.
And then in the second one, they go to the Bank of Spain. And it's a whole different, with gold and a whole different ballgame.
All right, I'm looking for my next show to recap because I just finished Hannah. So
yeah, I highly recommend it. And White Lines is done by the same group. So I got some good reviews on it and I got some not so good reviews on it. So now I'm going into it with a little bit of trepidation.
Not so good from people that finished the show or the people that couldn't get through it?
A guy told me he finished in like 3 days and loved it. He loved Money Heist and he also loved it.
Okay.
And I'm really intrigued by the White Line storyline.
Well, I'm just interested that the people that don't like the show, did you finish it? Or was it a situation of you didn't finish it and you couldn't get through it?
Yeah, like the first couple of times I watched Money Heist, I couldn't get through it because the dubbing drove me crazy.
I was like that with Game of Thrones. It took me a few times
to really sink its teeth in.
And then by the end of season one, I was like, I was completely hooked.
Yeah, see, I just never got into Game of Thrones. And I love stuff in that period.
Have you given it one season?
Yeah, I watched the whole first season.
Okay,
okay. And I don't know why it didn't grab me. I love stuff in that period, but it just never grabbed me. So I'm looking for the review on that. Fauda was another one that is dubbed, partially dubbed. And I liked it. I liked that a lot. That's like the Palestinian-Israeli version of Homeland.
I haven't checked out the last season of Homeland. I feel like it kind of jumped the shark after a while.
Yeah, I agree it did. I finished it.
Was it good?
Yeah, it finished.
After Quinn died, I was kind of out on it.
Yeah, it finished. And I'm on Billions now, but that's a week-to-week venture, which is a whole ballgame.
I couldn't get into that show at all.
And
I think the problem I had with Billions was the fact that they picked the biggest D-bag name to give that dude. Bobby Axelrod.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you hear that, you know the guy's a scumbag.
Axe. Yeah, it is.
It's just, and I don't think he's a good actor either, so that bothered me.
You didn't like him?
Damian Lewis, I'm not a fan of. I didn't like him in Homeland, I didn't like him in this.
You didn't like him in Band of Brothers?
No, I think he barely opens his mouth when he talks, and it bothers me.
I never thought of that.
Well, now you did.
Yeah. So, look, there's a lot of good ones out there. And again, Derek D. Gunn put out the tweet that he was looking for a good new show, and people responding with, have you watched Ozark?
Yeah.
How about Breaking Bad?
I'm going to watch season two of Succession, which I haven't gotten caught up on.
It's a good show.
And I liked the first season, although what bothered me about the first season was it was the story of Chappaquiddick. With the Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized...
Pretty much, yeah.
You basically stole Chappaquiddick. I went like, really? Like, you couldn't come up with anything better than that?
Yeah, it's just the slight variation.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I do like... I think Adam McKay does it.
Mm-hmm.
Local guy from Philly who has done great stuff, either with Will Ferrell, but his serious stuff, like The Big Short, is great. And I heard season two was really good. And I've heard from I like the show. I just, for whatever reason, didn't get into season 2 and it dropped. So I got to get back into that. And during this pandemic, it's great.
Well, you know, the guy that plays the main character in Succession, the dad, he was actually in, his name's Brian Cox, he was in Braveheart. And I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me the character that he played in Braveheart. So the main character is Logan Roy. He's the old man that built this great company. What character did he play, that actor play, in the movie Braveheart? That's a tough question for you. 610-632-0975. No clue.
I haven't watched it in years. Probably
it's a very ancillary role.
I haven't watched that movie in a while.
William Wallace had an uncle that, when his father was killed, came and got him and took him away.
Oh, Willie Wall.
What was his uncle? His uncle what? It's a kind of sock.
Uncle Wool.
No.
Uncle...
No, Uncle Gold Tip.
50-50.
Uncle Argyle.
50-50.
Was the
Hollister
one.
Cotton Blend.
No, it was his Uncle Argyle, who was the one that taught him how to speak other languages, which is how he got the girl. Moron.
Of course. You always get the girl with the accents and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And clean up with a nice accent.
610.
Bump a girl up if she has a nice accent.
632-0975. I'm going to ask you a question, because I'm curious about this.
5-3.
If you could go to a Phillies game next Tuesday night, and the Phillies are playing the Washington Nationals.
Okay.
And it's Nola versus Scherzer. Would you go to the game?
What day of the week is it?
Next Tuesday. Not tomorrow.
Yep.
Next Tuesday. They say, okay, Pat, at Citizens Bank Park, we've gotten a clear right now. We're in a yellow phase, but...
Well, what are the safety precautions they're instituting?
They're going to limit the crowd to 30% capacity.
How many people are around me?
30% capacity, and they're going to make sure that you social distance in the stands. And you got to wear a face covering. But going in and out of the stadium is going to be something that's difficult, because they're going to have to leave gaps in lines and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're literally going to have to, I guess, evacuate, like, all right, third baseline now. You know, you can't really ride a crowded elevator.
Or if you got to go to the bathroom, there's obviously going to be lines.
Would I go?
Less people in.
You know, my opinion.
Even though there's less people there.
My opinion on that's changed since having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's no longer about putting myself in danger. It's more of...
But where are you kind of... what I'm asking you is, there's two parts of the equation: how much you're missing sports and going to a ball game and soaking in the atmosphere and watching a competitive product, and then where you're kind of just like, okay, I've had enough.
Yeah, no, I'd be a hypocrite to say that I wouldn't think about going,
mm-hmm.
because I would go to the movies if they opened up tomorrow.
Okay.
And I think part of my reason why is because...
You miss going, that more?
Well, no. Going to either the movies or the ball game, I would think at least, is probably the safest time to go is now, because of the fact that so many people would be scared off of going.
Yeah.
So immediately when they open up, I would think that the crowd is going to be so empty. And I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
It could be like the boardwalk where it's packed. But I would think it would be safer. So the movies, though, has the ability, most of them at least, to see how many people are actually going to be in the theater, because you can pre-buy tickets. So that changes things.
Yeah.
But would I go? Probably not.
Probably would.
And I have season tickets.
And even knowing that in Pennsylvania, for example, there are more COVID deaths over the age of 100 than there is under the age of 45.
Yeah, it's just... The juice is not worth the squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a guy, once again, who has Philly season tickets. I miss going to the games. I miss taking my kid, but I...
You probably would not go.
I think I could be able to go and not touch anything metal.
Okay, what if it was a hockey game, a playoff game?
Well, funny you say
that. I'm not going to go to the Sixers because you're so disenchanted.
I was planning on going to a hockey game the week that they canceled it. Was all ready to go. And I was still planning on going, and then the season got postponed. So I'd be probably, once again, I'd be hypocritical if I said, no, I want to go. But it would worry me, because if you watch the latest episode of Real Sports with Brian Gumbel on HBO, they do, the basically the whole show is about the coronavirus, and they go into, and I think we talked about this before in the show, they go into how this one soccer game in Italy was really case zero, because two-thirds of this small Italian town was at this one soccer game, and how dangerous it is going to sporting events when a goal happens and the entire place,
high-fiving and hugging and the whole thing,
you know, jumps up and screams, and your water vapor's traveling like six rows or something because you're screaming. And it's just, it's nothing but a petri dish. And it's really dangerous during a global pandemic to go to a sporting event. And honestly, after seeing that, it was kind of like seeing the movie Contagion. When you see the movie Contagion for the first time, I saw that back in 2012 when it came out. And for 3 weeks, I'm just using nothing but hand sanitizer. Mm. Now, eventually, I got around to being like, okay, you're being ridiculous and going back to the way I was. But it scared the hell out of you. And when you hear a doctor, a guy who's dedicated his life to this and knows what he's talking about, not just some conspiracy theorist with a tinfoil hat, but a guy who's actually spent years studying this stuff, to say that going to a sporting event is a petri dish, it makes you think twice about going to a sporting event.
Well, I agree. Okay, so let me throw this scenario by you. The NHL has made plans to return, and it's no great secret that I do the games for the team. Should I be hoping that my role would be in the stadium, or should I just be more hoping that, hey, I'm glad the sport's back, it's a TV event, but I have to perform my pregame, intermission, and postgame reports all from home or a studio? So which one? Should I be hoping that I should be there at the stadium as part of the controlled group and getting tested? Or should I just say, I'll stay at home and perform my duties from my home studio?
I mean, if you can do it from home.
And I can.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, I think if anything, this pandemic has proven that a lot of us can do our jobs from home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technically I can't do my job. I can't produce and be on the board. I have to be here. But the hosts, as we've seen, can do their job from home.
Yeah.
It makes it a little more difficult because I like being able to see the host and interact with them during breaks and stuff. But you can do it. And for your situation, I mean, driving from Westchester to the Wells Fargo Center, you're basically doing it, what, for an in-person interview and a free meal?
Well, there probably wouldn't be an in-person interview.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's tough.
I can't be going back and forth with a microphone.
Well, I mean, no, you stick a microphone on a hockey stick.
A long stick. Pronger stick.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark and Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
All right, I got in my car, and I heard you guys talking about hot takes and somebody saying stuff for quick responses. Then you kind of followed it up like, well, look at Nick Foles. He lost his job in Jacksonville. To me, it's the most frustrating thing to hear every single host in his radio station continuously whenever the Wentz-Foles thing is brought up. Oh, well, Foles lost his job. They never follow that up by saying, well, Jacksonville is in a process of dropping their whole entire team, and their backup quarterback only makes $500,000 a year. They never say that.
But he got outplayed by Gardner Minshew.
Okay, so Jason, you and I, like, we all watch a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that Gardner Minshew replaced Nick Foles when he got hurt during an injury on a 70-yard touchdown pass, and then followed it up by Gardner Minshew didn't do a thing the rest of the year. He had 2-3 good games. By the time Nick Foles came back, it was week 11, 12, 13. At that point, they were already doing a fire sale.
Yep.
Everybody from Fournette.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And here's the thing, though. Part of the equation of keep Nick Foles over Carson Wentz is based on availability. And Nick Foles wasn't available.
I understand that clearly. But when you're saying that Nick Foles lost his job in Jacksonville, it's not like Nick Foles has had the injury history of Carson Wentz. Oh, my God, if you're going to make that comment.
No. He has more. Look, Nick Foles does. Has gotten hurt just as much, if not more, than Carson Wentz.
Okay, so
if you really look at it.
So what you're saying as far as amount of games missed, you're telling me that Nick Foles has had this issue. It's been a much bigger issue with Nick Foles in his career than Carson Wentz.
It hasn't been as pronounced an issue because he wasn't taken with the second overall pick in a draft.
Okay, well, so well, like I said, my initial call was just to say, at the end of the day, I hear it all the time. I listen to the radio all the time, and I don't want to even name the guys that say it, but some of the guys in the state, they just drag it, run it in the hole. Oh, he lost his job in Jacksonville. That's not the case. If he wasn't as good, they just paid him again.
Listen, here's the deal. How many times has Nick Foles, you think, since 2012 when he came in the league, played 14 games in a season? Not even 16.
I'm going to say, if I had to guess, I would probably say once, maybe twice, because he's never been nobody's darling at quarterback.
Okay. He's never played double-digit games in a regular season.
Okay.
He played 13 one year, sorry, and 11 one year in St. Louis.
Okay, but my thing is, like,
he's played 58 games since he got into the league.
And I understand that clearly. And I called you 2 weeks ago and said that's the reason why I think that this young guy will take Wentz's job. Because if you're talking about Nick like that, my gosh, you should be talking double the amount of complaints with Carson, because it's been worse.
They're not, though. He's played 16 games two times in 4 years.
And not only that, but
Nick Foles, Mark, real quick, has lost a starting job three times. In Philadelphia, in St. Louis, and in Jacksonville. Why is that?
Well, can I answer that with a response? My response was, in Philly, when he lost his job, you have to address it for what it was. He was winning week after week. They asked Chip Kelly, hey, would you commit to Nick Foles? All I'm saying is next week, Nick Foles is my quarterback. They never committed to the guy.
Yeah, because he's not a high pedigree player.
But he won you the Super Bowl.
Yes, he did. He got hot. No doubt about it. But here's the deal, though. He's not a guy, and he's never been great in the regular season. Even the year he won the Super Bowl, when he finished that year for Wentz, was he good?
Yeah, he wasn't good in Atlanta, but he was doggone good in all the other games.
No. He was good in the second half against Atlanta, and then he was really good in the championship game against the Vikings, and he was really good in the Super Bowl. He got really hot. Let's enjoy that for what it was, Mark, right?
And it was great.
But let's leave it at that. Let's not act like he's a guy that, as a starter, is going to bring you tremendous success, because he hasn't in 8 seasons, and it's just not who he is. He got hot. They wrote it. And it is what it is.
I totally get it, Jason. But just in closing, when you guys mention him losing his job in Jacksonville, it's only a fair argument to state why he lost his job.
But why would he? I know. But when he was back healthy, he didn't regain his job.
Well, why would you, though? They're transitioning. They're losing.
They're transitioning to Gardner Minshew. They just signed Foles that offseason to a huge deal.
Yes.
If they believed in him long term like they did when they signed that deal, they'd have gone back to him.
Jason, so basically you go back to Nick Foles when you're getting rid of the rest of the entire team.
Because he's your future. You signed him to be your future. If you felt like he was still your future, you would have gone back to him.
Well, wouldn't we agree that Ngakoue is their future? He's 23 years old. Fournette's 24 years old. They're getting rid of all these guys, so why pay an older veteran?
Why'd they do that in the offseason then, and then cut bait on him, and then have a dead money hit?
I think it was a dumb signing, if you ask me. I think it was flat out dumb of them.
Perhaps it was. In hindsight for them, it was that. Hey, Mark, thanks for the call.
Yep.
Appreciate it. I mean, look, I can't believe we're having the conversation again. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 610-632-0975. He's never been a legit NFL starting quarterback year in, year out for a team. He's lost a starting job 3 times.
Career. I tried to do the math, and I could count 26 games missed. And that's minimum.
To injury. Yeah.
And we had one guy call up and go, I can't believe you guys are talking about Nick Foles. Get more creative. All right. And then he wanted to stick on and tell me what he wanted to talk about. But it's like, what do you want us to do, man? It came up.
All right. Is this Steve? We'll talk to him when we come back.
No, it wasn't him.
Bummer. Steve, you hang on, though. We'll get to you coming up next. 610-632-0975. Jason Martinez, Pat Egan alongside, right here on 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5
The Fanatic. You having a good Memorial Day? What are those drums called?
Steel?
They're steel drums, like the reggae drums.
I can
see you playing those.
Why are you asking me?
I figured you'd know. Nobody.
I scream reggae.
You just scream music to me, Mr. Music.
Big reggae guy.
Stephen Mayfair's on the Fanatic. What's up, Stevie?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
I didn't want to be calling to defend Nick Foles, but...
how do we end up on this?
What's that?
I don't even know how I ended up on... I'm talking about guys defending Nick Foles as hot take artists. Now we're on Nick Foles.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And it's just based on the dialogue with your last caller, I guess, and then you talking about him losing his starting job three times. There's also... I'm not saying, you know, if he stole a job... unconditional in a way, in a manner that isn't really typically fair and doesn't happen often. He stole a guy's job through Michael Vick and injured, came in. I like to say he lost the job, you know, and then you see what Jacksonville's doing with guys down there. They don't want to pay nobody. They're trying to free up a ton of cap space, you know, so they signed him, but then clearly got rid of him. I mean, they were just coming off of a big run, you know, the year before that, I believe, to the AFC Championship game, but they seemed where everything was going. So getting rid of guys, not liking the way it's going. So he lost that job in that way. He lost his starting job here, I guess, because he got traded for Sam Bradford, basically. And then he lost a job in the Rams organization with Jeff Fisher. Case Keenum was there. Jared Goff was getting drafted.
Well, it was way before Goff.
Well, he got traded in 15.
Oh, no, it was the Goff year. 15, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was. But I'm not even trying to make the excuse for him why he's losing jobs. And he's also a third-round pick who probably went a little early. So it's easier to lose your job that way.
Yep, because you don't have pedigree.
Now, he's a product of a system. That's what I just want to call and say. And so it's hard to say that, wow, he lost a job here in Philadelphia. He was 14-4 in the system as a starter in the Eagles system. 14-4. He got traded for Sam Bradford with a Chip Kelly making a decision. Was that the best decision? Was it not? I don't know. But he was 14-4, and then he goes around the league, comes back, and he did perform. Listen, he won. Carson Wentz clearly got us to where, you know, we needed to be that year. He didn't exactly clinch it, and Nick Foles didn't play off the charts. But he only needed one more game to clinch, you know, home field advantage, which a lot of people say if we didn't have that year, we would not have won the Super Bowl. So yeah, he did do that. And then he also got us to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl the following year when Carson Wentz, the guy that I like to say walks around with a black cloud over his head. Sure, he played two 16-game seasons. I get it. But the guy is just not on the field when needed most. And that gave the opportunity for us fans to have a debate whether Nick Foles is – he's not a better quarterback. Carson Wentz clearly has better talent, But Carson Wentz has clearly, he's given us the opportunity to talk about this and having it such as a discussion because he can't be on the field at the most important times.
And you heard what I said about it, Steve. You know, when it comes down to it, the most important element of an athlete is availability. Thanks for the call. It's the most important thing. And look, like I said, Wentz played 16 games in his rookie year and last year in the regular season. He did get hurt in the playoff game. We know what happened in, when he played the 13 games in the 2017 season. He was an MVP. He was the MVP in that season, but he got hurt and then wasn't able to go for the playoffs. We know he didn't start the following season and then missed time with the back and everything that went along with it. I may have had a report about that. But the fact, again, if I'm going to be completely transparent, and I've said it, it doesn't matter how good you are in any sport if you're not available. Availability, the combination of availability and talent is what can lead to greatness. And there, that kind of brings us full circle. It's where we started today. This notion of greatness without achievement is foolish to me. To deem someone great without any achievement. And look, there's different kinds of achievement in sports as well. There is individual accomplishment, which is achievement. And then there's team accomplishment, which is achievement as well. And the greatest of greats have both, like Michael Jordan. And we just got reminded of that in The Last Dance and the sacrifices he made to be great. And the way he conducted himself professionally. Personally, and all the things in between.
We're still only 4 years into Carson's career, so
yeah,
there's still time. I mean, I think he is great. You are still wait and see approach.
I think he's got great talent. I do. I think he can be great. But I worry that the GM's going to be able to put greatness around him.
Yeah, I worry about that,
or
too.
The tools to be great around him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can look at, like, a Drew is one of those guys. There's a lot of variance on how people feel about him because the team hasn't had any team success. And, like, people brought this out to me saying when I had the response to the notion from another radio personality on another station that Sam Hinkie is great. Because I said he hasn't accomplished anything. The team hasn't got out of the second round. People say, well, you say Drew's great, and he hasn't won a playoff series since 2012. Well, first of all, he was a big part of that team that went to a cup final in 2010. And he also has an accomplishment of being the fourth leading scorer in the sport in a decade of its play. That's individual accomplishment. But that's still accomplishment. And team success and that kind of accomplishment, look, you have to have players around you. And people will say, well, great players still have accomplishment, team accomplishment, even if they don't have a great team around them. And I say in hockey, BS, because they don't. You can be a great player in that sport and have no success team accomplishment-wise. I think the greatest player in the game doesn't have any team accomplishment in Connor McDavid. I don't think Sidney Crosby would have had team accomplishment if he didn't have depth and have other great players on that team. I look at a lot of great players in that sport who don't have team accomplishment. There's a lot of greats that never won at all. A lot. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. The Red Wings have won the cup, Pat. 1997. I see the confetti on the ice. Scotty Bowman with his skates on. Flyers lost another cup during the show today. 610-632-0975. Jason Martinez, Pat Egan, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew coming up at the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
On 97.5 The Fanatic. What Andrew's coming up next there, Pat?
He is, yeah.
What's he got coming up today? Do you have any idea? Has he popped in there?
No, I think he's just going to do a music block.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's going to be a block of the Who.
Could you name me two Who songs?
Yeah, Bob O'Reilly.
Okay, so you're a stadium anthem.
Won't Get Fooled Again.
Okay.
Pinball Wizard.
Wow, okay, you're doing way better than I thought. Can you name me three Led Zeppelin songs?
Cashmere.
Because it was Chase Utley's walk-up music.
I'm not a Zeppelin fan, though. I appreciate what they did for music, but I just never really got into it.
Then you don't appreciate stuff. It.
I mean, I don't appreciate
it. You can't name two more? You can't name, like...
I probably can. You're putting me on the spot.
Black Dog?
Yeah, I mean, once again, I probably
Whole
can.
Lot of love?
Once again, I probably can. You just put me on the spot for a band that I don't really, don't listen to.
I like this, putting you on the spot. How about three Led or Rolling Stones songs?
Oh, once again, you're putting me on the spot. This is hard, because Mike does it with Give Me Three, and... All right, so give me a second here.
Give me two.
Give me a second. Because I'm actually pretty well versed in rock and classic rock music, although I'm not showing it now. There is a... Jesus Christ.
Satisfaction?
I'm drawing a blank. No, well,
Give Me Shelter.
I'm trying to think of my favorite one. Give Me Shelter is my favorite one. Yeah.
Because that was in a movie. I see right through you.
I swear to God, I promise you, I am not this dense when it comes to classic rock music. Because I grew up with it. I grew up listening to MMR with my dad. And
Let me give you another
one. Not a huge Rolling Stones fan either, though.
Could you give me three or even two Leonard Skinner songs?
Other than Sweet Home Alabama and
Stairway to Heaven?
Stairway to Heaven. Stairway to Heaven is Led Zeppelin.
You meant Freebird.
Freebird, yeah. Thinking of those long 9-minute classics that you yell out at a concert that the band's never going to play.
Those were the greatest songs when I worked in rock radio.
Oh, yeah, because you could do whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, sometimes nature.
Gimme Shelter. If you listen to Gimme Shelter, the woman who is singing in the background was like 9 months pregnant when she recorded that.
Really?
And I think the baby, something happened with the child, like the stress of singing that song. Something happened. You got to look it up. It's a crazy story, though. But when you listen to her actual vocals of it, just isolated, it's incredible. Like, it gives you chills.
All right, let me give you two more. Other than Enter Sandman, can you name me two other Metallica songs?
Master of Puppets was the album, but it wasn't a song.
It was a song.
It was a song.
Title track of the album.
All right, well, sometimes they don't have the title track. You know, there is no title track. It's just the name of an album.
And sometimes.
You've got Saint Anger, my favorite.
Oh, my God.
Fuel.
I meant, okay.
Fuel. Right. Give me five.
All right. You're good. You got the requisite.
Enter Sandman.
I said other than Enter Sandman.
Other than Enter Sandman. You got Enter Sandman. Once again, I'm not good when you're putting me on the spot.
I know, and I love it. That's why I'm doing it.
So bad at this.
Okay. Other than Welcome to the Jungle.
Struggle. There's one.
Give me two other Guns N' Roses.
November Rain.
Okay. Because Stephanie Seymour was in the video.
Paradise City.
Okay. All right. You passed.
And Chinese Democracy.
That was an album.
I know it was an album. Tyler's in here just losing his mind.
I know.
I'm aware it was an album. Relax, Skippy. All right? was it a song, too? Oh, that's the first time I heard it was a song. I wasn't dialed into that album.
I can't believe
it. It only took 45 years for that album to come out, so I wasn't dialed into it, Tyler. Sorry about that.
But I can't believe you came up so empty on Led Zeppelin.
I'm not a Zeppelin guy at all. I never.
All right, Beatles.
Well, there's the White Album.
Not an album. I want songs.
Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah, nice.
Love.
You mean Can't Buy Me Love?
I Can't Buy Me Love, yeah. She Loves You.
Okay.
Yesterday.
And the only reason you know these is because they were in the movie Yesterday.
Yeah, eight Crazy Nights. If I know them, you can't criticize me for why
no,
I know them.
No, but I know. But the way you live is your
Yellow Submarine.
All about the movie.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I'm well versed, bud.
How about Simon and Garfunkel?
I can tell you that Pete Best was the original drummer of them.
There you go.
See, I'm not a total idiot. I just when I'm put on
is
the
Tyler
spot,
feeding you know?
No, he's not.
What about Simon and Garfunkel?
I am not a Simon and Garfunkel. I never smoked weed.
What does that have to do with Simon and Garfunkel?
I mean, really? I gotta explain it to you.
They weren't
the guy who was a forestry major.
Band.
You ever saw Almost Famous?
No, I did see it, but I don't recall the line.
All right, yeah. There you go.
But again, right back to the movie.
No, I'm not
so
a Simon
like,
and
like
Garfunkel
Bridge
fan.
Over Troubled Water, no. Mrs. Robinson.
It's way too.
Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson, with Dustin.
Way too mellow for me.
Dustin Hoffman in the movie.
Yeah, no, you can keep saying it. It's still gonna be really too mellow for me.
The Graduates, the movie.
My first concert was AC/DC, though.
Oh, see, that's cool.
Back in Stiff Upper Lip Tour back in 2001.
Okay.
Still haven't told my mom that I went to that, by the way.
You just did.
No, she's not listening to you.
She's the only one. All right. Did you like the show, the AC/DC show?
Yeah, they were incredible. And it was a little sketchy there because their lead singer, Brian Johnson, almost didn't make the show because he was having vocal issues.
Shocking.
But it was
with his style of
he made it. Yeah, he made it. And they played with Buck Cherry was the opener. So yes. At least I knew the opener.
It's at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah. And it was
quite possibly the loudest concert I've ever been to.
Really?
Yeah.
It was awesome, though. They were great. They were my first favorite band that my dad introduced me to. Mm-hmm. And then I found my own kind of sound.
Yeah. It was a good show. They always put on a good show. What's a top concert for you other than AC/DC? Have you been?
nothing that you'd probably heard of. Probably the best concert I ever went to was Brand New and Thrice together, because those are my two of my favorite bands.
Mm-hmm.
And
where was this at?
TLA? No, that was at the Electric Factory, which is a dump.
Yeah.
Just a bad place to listen to a show. Probably the best concert I went to was the first Taste of Chaos tour, which was the Used, My Chemical Romance, Killswitch Engage. I think Seosin was on that one. Census Fail. It was like a bunch of bands that I loved.
Look at you. All right.
So that was probably the best concert I've been to.
Andrew goes to see like Zac Brown.
Yeah, Andrew's sitting there acting like he was born in Tennessee with his straw hat.
Yeah.
drinking his Bud Light seltzer. Miller Lite.
Are you guys on TV today?
No, so they're not on TV. Yeah. Okay. Did you see how they're dressed?
Well, that's why I was questioning it, because you two look like
a bunch of slobs. Yeah, you got to get dressed up to be on a TV talking sports. I mean, please, you can't come in here wearing a hat.
Yeah, what do you think this is?
What do you think this is?
Yeah. All right, Andrew and Tyler are coming up next. They got you 2 to 6. Everybody, thanks for listening today. I hope everybody had a good, safe Memorial Day and Memorial Day weekend. Pat, great job out of you today. It's some of your finest work today. So stay tuned. Andrew's coming up next with Tyler alongside. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great rest of the day. We'll talk to you next Saturday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.